wanted to get past certain areas of experience. He wanted to go beyond in plastic surgery. How did he do this? How did this evolve for him? Because he received recognition in 2005. He went public with what he was doing. And a lot of his medical compatriots just were not interested at all in what he was doing.
Yes, you know, a lot of times I'm asked, how did the tragedy that Dr. Hurwitz endure, how did it change him? How was he different? And I think that one of the things that made him different was the type of medicine, in a sense, that he pursued and is pursuing today. And by that I mean, when you think of plastic surgery, you typically think of movie stars having plastic surgery, or people trying to cheat the aging process, and it's more or less considered frivolous or vain in a lot of instances. What Dr. Hurwitz does now with this revolutionary total body lift is he works with formerly obese individuals who have lost significant amount of weight, and they're left with all of this excess skin that no dieting, no amount of exercise can do away with. So even though they've lost all this weight, sometimes, actually most times through bariatric surgery, their bodies are still not able to, in a sense, even look normal because of all of this excess skin. And what Dr. Hurwitz has pioneered is what he calls a total body lift, where he's able to get rid of all of this excess skin. Some of the his patients will lose more than 20 pounds in excess skin in one 8-9 hour operation.
Amazing.
And, yeah, it really is. And why I say I think in a sense what he's gone through has affected him, because he's not making these people, in a sense, beautiful. They're not movie star beautiful, but what he's doing, he's giving them a chance to be kind of quote-unquote normal in our society again, in terms of looks, in terms of feature. He's giving them a chance to not be ostracized by their looks. So he's using his skills as a surgeon now really in a more substantial way than you would typically say a plastic surgeon might pursue.
My guest today is Robert Mendelson. We're talking about his true story. It's about the chase for beauty. And Dr. Dennis Hurwitz and his wife Linda went through a series of tragedies, one by right after the other. The book is fascinating. The facts are there. Robert has done just an awesome job with this. I want to move forward a little bit, because with Dennis, he had married, when he was younger, a wonderful woman by the name of Linda. They ended up having a baby girl whose name was Karen. Now, in the story, when you're talking about things, I was fascinated about a lot of synchronicity, a lot of intuitive perceptions on the part of the mother, on the part of their daughter Karen, and it was fascinating.
It really was, and it was something that I didn't even realize when I got involved in the book, how much was there. And by that I mean, and what I think you're alluding to, is just the signs of fate that things, we always kind of wrestle with free will and fate. You know, is there a book in the heavens that kind of says what all of our fates will be? And when you read this book and see just the signs along the way that of the tragedy that was going to come, it's really, it's just uncanny.
It really is. Everything from the tradition, because Dennis and his wife were Jewish, they named their child Karen. They named it after a woman, Karen Hansen Clement. And there's a very strong belief in Jewish tradition that the name you choose for your child is going to very much have an effect on the outcome of their life. Well, she chose the name Karen because of Karen Hansen Clement, and she was stabbed to death by terrorists when she moved to Israel. And you make the sentence statement here, it was certainly an ominous namesake.
Yes, and at the time you might say, why did they name their daughter that? Because it was she was a character in the book that is somebody that had very high ideals, and you can understand why they named their daughter after her, and probably didn't even give much thought to what was her ultimate fate. And as it would turn out, their daughter would be brutally stabbed to death as a teenager also. So it was just, yes, there's so many signs like that throughout the book. There's a the last tape that I saw of Karen, Home Movies, that was a party in their backyard, and in the backyard they had hired a harp player, a blonde-haired woman, you know, dressed in a golden dress, playing this big harp. She was playing the harp on the spot where Karen would die just 2 months later.
What I found even more fascinating, because as you say, there are so many different points, and here you are, you're writing this, you're putting this all together, and then afterwards, the synchronicity, it's almost like someone saying, well, now this is the particular role that Karen is going to play. Now, Karen herself felt like she was going to die young.
Yeah.
And there was a time, and you stated it here, when they were on a trip in Mexico, or were in Mexico, actually living there for a while. She was talking to her grandmother and was asking her if she was going to die, and her grandmother said, no, you're not going to die. Don't even think about it. But her grandmother said she was so afraid she was going to die, and she had promised her granddaughter she would not die young. But Karen just seemed to know, and I've had people I've known in my life that were aware that their lives were not meant to be long, and they passed away. So when I was going through this and I was reading this, I'm just going, this is amazing. And then her mother had also written a thesis before Karen was born on violence among black males, and the young man that murdered Karen was a young black male. And so it's, again, it's just all of this information. So it makes for very thoughtful reading because of the way you've knit it all together.
Yeah, and it's just one after the other. Another one that you'll probably recall is while Linda was pregnant with Karen, she went to see the movie The Clockwork Orange. And the movie so repulsed her from the violence that it was the only movie she's ever walked out on. And she said she felt physically ill from watching it, and the convicted murderer initially said that his prime motivation for the murder was that he was wearing his Clockwork Orange shirt, and he always did crazy things when he wore that. And this was some 18 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, it's just, and there's more of that in the book. It's just one after the other, and it's kind of what I'm alluding to and saying that it was like, there were just signs of what was to come, that this was a fate that Karen could not escape.
Now, it's also a story about a family who ended up adopting two children that after Karen was killed, and their lives are very rich and very full, and Dr. Hurwitz is very much involved with his work, and you do a superb job of talking about that. This is a man who has been able to give people back their lives. He dedicated himself and still is involved, I believe, in doing surgeries on children that are born with cleft palates. And those cleft palates are a result of poor nutrition. And so here you have these situations, and fortunately today they are able to do something about cleft palates, which it's just amazing that there are still so many parts of the world that they have these problems. This is a story about a physician, about his wife, about the tragedies that they went through, how they pulled it all together, how they were able to make their life have more meaning than what most people would have envisioned them to do, because a lot of people would just run, hide, burrow themselves away. Their grief would be so deep. But they didn't do that. And you tell this story with such compassion that I think that anyone that has gone through any challenges or is going through challenges at this time, if they were to read your book, The Chase for Beauty, they might find something in there that would enable them to realize that life is more than what we often think it is, and that we have got the personal power of being able to make it a bigger and more expressive reality, which is what this family has done. Karen's death did more than what most people would just think was it, and that is, you know, all the grief, the stuff about the murderer, but you've done so much more with that.
Well, I think you've without a doubt picked up on the kind of the core of the book. When people tell me, ask me to sum up quickly, what's the book about? I'll often say, it's not a love story, but it's a story about love, and that's what kind of permeates through, and what I think kept the Hurwitzes moving in terms of how the title itself is meant to be kind of read on a lot of different levels in terms of the chase for beauty. It's not just Dr. Hurwitz's professional chase for beauty, which obviously is a plastic surgeon, but just as much, if not more so, his personal chase for beauty in finding beauty in the world when certainly there was a point in his life when he was just surrounded by ugliness. And how do you move forward? How do you keep chasing beauty, looking for beauty, when there just is none to be seen? And as you so eloquently put, that's what I think what this story is about. And so certainly for people that are looking for to be inspired, I think that they'll find that in reading The Chase for Beauty.
Robert, how did this affect your life? Here you are, the journalist. You do over 100 interviews. You get to know this family. You're sitting and talking with a man whose skills, in my mind's view, are just awesome because he's a sculptor, he is a surgeon, he helps people put their lives together, he brings life into people's lives that otherwise all they'd have to deal with is ugliness. They don't know that they can ever have a whole life without plastic surgery. And he makes this possible. He does this for children, he does this for adults. How did this interaction with Dr. Hurwitz, his family, these circumstances, and putting together this book, how did it affect you?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I think part of it you alluded to earlier in terms of when you talked about my acknowledgments, which I wrote obviously when the book was completed. And you know, you look at the world today, and we're always looking for heroes, whether it be in the entertainment industry or sports stars, just celebrities of so many different venues. But what I found in writing the book, and I didn't know going in what I was going to find, quite honestly, but that Dr. Hurwitz really is a hero. He's an everyman hero in terms of he did not let everything he had to endure destroy his life, destroy his marriage, destroy his family. He found a way. And he's the first one to say you don't overcome this, what happened to him in his life. But what you learn how to do is to move forward. You learn how to persevere, and you learn how to still try to accomplish as much in life as you can despite all that has happened to you. And so I think what I took out of it, and now that it's written, I think every reader will take different things out of it. But for me, it's just persevering, you know, despite whatever obstacles you might find, because certainly no obstacle has ever appeared in my life that will in any way come close to what Dr. Hurwitz and his wife Linda have had to endure.
Well, I think the book is very insightful, and it is something that can really make a difference in our thinking, and I agree with you. I think this family, not just Dr. Hurwitz, but the whole family, is endured and has risen above what otherwise would have been very destructive. The Chase for Beauty by Robert Mendelson is the book we have been discussing. Robert, is there a website people can go to find out more about this book and all that went into putting it together?
There is. It's simply enough, thechaseforbeauty.com. And it's actually a website that I've had a lot of input in. It's not a typical website. I mean, it's very interactive. There's home videos, there's reviews, of course, there's a trailer for the book, and there's also a blog where people can post their comments in a sense on a message board where certainly anyone who's had to endure grief, things of that nature can actually have an online community. So I certainly urge your listeners to go, in addition to obviously reading the book, going to the website, and they'll find they can spend a great deal of time there with the various aspects of it.
The Chase for Beauty by Robert Mendelson. Go to his website, thechaseforbeauty.com, thechaseforbeauty.com, and you can have a journey of exploration with information that will absolutely fascinate you. Robert, thank you so very much for being my guest today.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, those phone lines are going to be open, and I've got some wonderful things to share. So don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers you can call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, this broadcast is coming to you live from Los Angeles, and through the miracle of technology, no matter where I am, on the road traveling, we're always able to connect with you. And, of course, you that are listening are so web savvy, it's absolutely marvelous. I do want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up next week. And we have got a fascinating series of guests coming up. Swami Kriyananda. Swami Kriyananda. Asha Praver is a woman that has written his life story. Fascinating man, interesting disciplines, and someone that I think is going to be, well, a person maybe you'd like to know more about. A man that walked the talk. Also, next week, a dynamic subject, Silicon Dragon. We're going to be talking about technology in China, the differences it's making, and who's hot and who's not. Half Price Living, L.A.K. is going to be my guest next week. If you want to know how to live inexpensively and yet feel like you're at the top of the heap, Ellie's got the answer. She's an absolute doll. Robin Kelly is going to be my guest. He's in New Zealand. We're going to be talking about the human antennae, the genes in your body and how they can make a difference in your wellness. And then George Frazier. His fascinating book is Click. It's all about human relationships and how we can make them work for us in wonderful ways on a personal level, professional level. It makes your life richer. We have a dynamic list. I do have to tell you, because I'm on the road traveling, and we have had some problems with corruption in our computer system. I've not been able to put in the listing of the guests that probably will be put in this weekend when I have the opportunity to come back from this business trip, and then I'll bring everything up to date. My newsletter will be going out more than likely between Sunday and Monday. So I do apologize for the lateness, but when you've got those nasty little critters in there that do funny things to your system, it's wild, woolly, and crazy. Okay, Donna Sebo here. If you should decide you'd like to chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And for those of you in the state of Washington, two special events are going to be coming up. I am going to be at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show in Seattle. I've been participating in this event every year. Absolutely love it. I'll be speaking each day. It is just a joy to be a part of this phenomenal event where well over 40,000 women come and attend, and it is exciting. There's just so many wonderful dynamics. And Teresa Tapp is going to be there too. Teresa, who's been on my show, she's going to be demonstrating there. So for those of you listening, this is a dynamic event. And that's going to be the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th of March. So go online to the Northwest Women's Show, and you'll be able to get more information. Of course, as we get closer, I'll be giving you more information about where I am, et cetera. Also, on the 19th of April, I'm going to be giving a class on mental ecology and the development of personal self-esteem and success. This is going to be a power-packed class. We have a limited amount of seating. If you are in the state of Washington, you'd like to be a part of it. It's going to be April the 19th, and I'm going to be interacting with each and every person that is going to be attending this class. It's going to be on a Saturday from 10 until noon. Lunch is going to be provided, and we are going to have a blast. So I hope that you will give us a call. Call my office. I'll have more contact information for you, but my office number, if you want more information on that class, is 800-872-8852. Donna Sebo here, and again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I love stories that involve synchronicity, coincidence, whatever term you want to use. This story I thought was absolutely awesome. It was written by Melody Beers, and she's out of Racine, Wisconsin, and it's a love story. She said her wedding was unconventional, exactly what she wanted, exactly what her husband Matt wanted. They had been married before, so they decided they wanted to do something very different to symbolize the desire that their marriage, this union that they were going to be in, this sunrise ceremony on the Wisconsin shore of Lake Michigan was going to be a very special one. This was the marriage that was going to work. They released balloons, she said, instead of lighting a unity candle, signifying letting go of the past. Now, this is what they did. They decided they would write their own vows and put them in a bottle. They decided they wanted to share their love with the world and that they would take this bottle, seal it, and then cast it into the lake. What they included on this were their names, the address for their new home, and also the date of their wedding. They said Matt and Melody Beers married at the Wind Point Lighthouse August 18th. Well, when Melody and Matt were holding the bottle, getting ready to throw it into the water, she said to her new husband, it'll be very interesting to find out where the bottle's going to be turning up, if it ever does turn up. Now, her husband threw the bottle in the water, but the wind blew it back. So they laughed over this. And the second time, the bottle barely made it into the water. Well, Melody thought, gee, I guess this bottle's never going to go anywhere because it keeps coming back to us. However, that second throw, the current changed enough, the bottle started drifting out and away from the shore they were standing on. They were very happy. They had known each other for 5 years. They got married because they really felt that they wanted to be together. This was right for both of them. There were little doubts in the back of her mind. And she said, I didn't want to give nourishment to those negative thoughts. And it was about a month later, we were in our new home, and my husband went to the mailbox and got the mail. And it was a letter that was addressed to both of us with a return address. Neither one of us recognized the return address. So my husband sat down at the kitchen table with a letter and opened it. To their amazement, the bottle that Matt had thrown out into Lake Michigan had been found. There was a couple that had discovered it while they were walking their dogs all the way over on the Michigan side of the Great Lake. But that wasn't all that was in the letter. And her husband just was astonished. In fact, he had to read it out loud to her. And she said, any doubts that I had about my marriage were erased then. This is what was said in the letter. We were also married on the beach on this side of the lake, just like you, on August 18th. 28 years ago, we wish you both the very best. Coincidence? Synchronicity? I love stories, don't you? Absolutely wonderful. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. By the way, if you're a new listener to the show, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me any question that you want after I give you my insights. And it's very good for you to know that I am an informational resource. It's very simple, very straightforward, and direct, and to the point. So give me a buzz if you like at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, for those of you that have kids, I came across some astrological information on kids. And I thought, oh, wouldn't this be fun to share with you? Okay, what if you've got a child that's born under the sign of Aries? Be prepared. You've got a high-energy, fun-loving top dog, if you will. Alpha female, more than likely. They love to really be up front. So if you have a child with that kind of energy, you want to encourage her to learn, him or her, to learn their leadership skills and give them responsibilities that they can handle. What if your child is born under the sign of Cancer? They're loving. They're caring. They want to really be involved in things. They feel very, very deeply. So remember, with those children born under the sign of Cancer, they're loving. What makes a big difference with them is a hug. Loving, loving attention. The child born under the sign of Libra, so we-natured charmers. They love to shine. And artistic, usually they have a pretty good disposition. They like peace. They do not like agitation. So you may have to encourage them in their creative side. Also, let them know that life isn't always a straight line. They need to deal with the ups and downs. Capricorn child? Responsibility with a big R is for a Capricorn. They usually have a great deal of self-discipline, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to become an achiever, to become that person that when they walk into the room, people go, whoa, who is that individual? Anyone with that as their sun sign typically is very strong-willed. Praise their efforts, not just achievements, and make them follow through so they learn how to complete tasks. Don't get sidetracked. And know they like being the best. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. When we come back, phone lines are going to be open, so I'll be glad to chat with you. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Okay, let's give the rest of the signs regarding the kids of the zodiac. Those that are born under the sign of Taurus, they are grounded, steady, sensible, but they can also be stubborn. You ever notice that with your child born under the sign of Taurus? Well, introduce changes gradually and allow that this is a child that's going to have things shown to her. She has to be able to feel them and look at them in her own way, his or her own way. Also, Leos, they are charismatic. Why, my goodness, why wouldn't that be the case? They love to be proud, and they love to be adored. So usually those born under the sign of Leo have pretty sunny dispositions. However, you've got to be able to say no to this individual because they will try to just whine and persuade and manipulate big time. So you need to have boundaries for those born under the sign of Leo. Scorpio, they love to be the adventurers. They love to go after that which most people would be intimidated by. They have tremendous concentration And they need to learn how to get along with other people, that not everything is going to go their way. So for those under the sign of Scorpio, they can be a handful, but they are dynamic, enthusiastic, and just full of imagination. Aquarians, one of a kind. Lots of ideas will come through their heads. They're out-of-the-box thinkers, and they want to make a difference in the world. This is someone under the sign of Aquarius. You don't need to supervise them a lot. They're pretty responsible. They're sort of like Capricorns. However, they do want to have their own touch on whatever they do, so don't be afraid to allow them to be original. Geminis, energetic. They like things to move fast. They like to think quick, but they don't always think through. They might come up with resolutions, but they haven't always thought them through. So you want to be sure that when you're working with them, that they have tasks that can be done relatively quickly. This is a good time when they're young to teach them how to organize, how to put things into perspective so they can be about doing what they want to do. Virgos, oh, Virgos are perfectionists. They are analytical, and they want everything just so. Many times, they are so much of a perfectionist, they never get anything done. So there needs to be an awareness. They don't have to necessarily have everything perfect, and things do have to get done. You have to do things in rhythm and order, but don't procrastinate. They can be procrastinators because they don't have they have to get everything done just perfectly, and sometimes that's not the way it's going to happen. Sagittarians, they love to explore. They want to find out about everything. They're going to be climbing the trees into all kinds of stuff. How does this work? This is a wonderful aspect of them. Encourage them to read, to study, and to go new places, and to try out new ideas. It's great for the Sagittarian kid. And the last sign, Pisces, they have imaginations that never quit. They love to make people happy, but they don't like harshness in life. Many times they'll retreat. So they need, those born under the sign of Pisces, need to learn that life is not perfect. This is something they will grow through. This is something that they are going to be experiencing. This is something where there are days when life is not going to be a joy, and that's part of what they're going to have to learn as they are growing up. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. What would it take to make you a happier person? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What pops up? Oh, if I won the lottery, everything would just be perfect. Oh, gee whiz, I want this kind of a house, or I want something rather. There is a woman, Diane, and she said she really got a wake-up call because she wanted what so many other people want. Wanted a nice car, a perfect man in her life, the perfect job, beautiful place to live. Sound a little familiar? She was always, always looking for something out there. Well, one of the things that came home to her is that, one, she needed to be grateful for where she was. She said the only thing was she'd get stuck in her thinking, and she'd never reach out for some of those things that she really wanted. Her marriage had crashed. She did have a steady job, and she had some very good friends, but she was feeling stuck. And she said she kept meeting the wrong kind of people. And she said, I just don't know. She lives in New England. She said, I just don't know how I'm going to survive another winter. Well, there was a woman she was working with. And the woman asked her a question one day. What is it you think you'd like? Well, Diane said, I think I would like to move to California. It just came right out of her mouth. I'd like to start over. Well, Audrey asked her, why don't you? Well, of course, Diane looked at her like she was on another planet, and she said, wait a minute, what do you mean, why don't I? It's 3,000 miles away. And her friend said, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You know, you can always come back to New England. You know all about New England. She said, why don't you picture yourself in California and see how happy you are? And it just, Diane was sitting there and she's saying, I can see it. And Audrey said, you know what? Your new life is waiting for you to set in. And you can make it happen. It is possible. Well, Diane, like so many of us, someone says, oh, this can happen for you. And I said, oh, yeah, but, you know, I just don't have this. Isn't it amazing the stuff that flips out of our mouth when we make a statement about what we want and then it flips out that, oh, well, I know that might happen, but, gee, this could never happen. We are amazing, we human beings. We negate the very thing that we want. Well, she went to boot camp. No, she didn't join the Marines or the Navy or the Army. She went to a boot camp. And her friend, Audrey, said, you have to discover the strength about yourself, feel good about who you are, and instead of being a loser magnet, you're going to be a winning magnet. Well, you know what? Diane started in the boot camp, becoming aware of who she was, finding out she had a lot of good qualities about herself. And you know what she ended up doing? She ended up going to California. Yeah. She found a job. She found a place she could live in that was by the beach. And she met all kinds of wonderful, wonderful people. And she said, if I hadn't have met Audrey, this wouldn't have happened. So the investment in boot camp paid off in more than one way. There are four ways you can really feel good about yourself. You need to be able to honestly look at your life and look at what you have accomplished, big and small. Look at the rough spots that you've gone through. Look at how you have grown through them. You've survived them. You're capable. Pat yourself on the back for that. Look at doing something different for yourself. Maybe it's getting a haircut. Maybe it's buying a new outfit. Maybe it's trying a new color. For you gals, it's makeup. For you guys, maybe it's trimming off the waistline a little bit or getting involved in a club. There's so many different things that you can do, but you make the choice. And how you look physically makes a big difference on how you are appearing to other people. Compliment yourself. Compliment yourself. Realize that you can do that and say it with sincerity. Look in the mirror. Say it to yourself. Be nice to yourself, and above all, try something fun. Try something different. You know, I think of the guest that we had today, who is a superb writer. He dared to be different in 2005, quitting a job that had, where he had earned 19 awards, was very successful, very accomplished, to write a book. Changed his life. It opened up a whole new vista for him. It opened up a job opportunity for him. This is what life is all about, reaching for that that's within you so you can go farther, you can be better, you can achieve dynamics. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. I'm broadcasting live from California. I'll be back in home studio on Monday. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a great life ahead of you, but you're the only one that can reach for the gold ring. No one else is going to do it for you. Reach. Stretch those muscles. Use your imagination. Life is a joy. Live it. Donna Sebo, bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.